Well, on today's broadcast, we're going to talk about something very relevant, very serious. Our brother Nabil Qureshi died of cancer. Why didn't God heal him? And if you're sick, what does it say to you?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what about divine healing? What about promises in Scripture that seem to indicate that God will heal the sick as we come to Him in faith? What about the example of Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament? How much of that applies to today? What about just the very nature of God that is manifest in healing? Shouldn't we expect a loving Father to heal His children? What happens when healing doesn't come? Does that mean healing is not for today? Does that mean that God might heal one and pass by another? Is it all dependent on our own personal faith? Is the devil involved? Is human sin involved? How far do we go with these kinds of questions? Friends, we're going to probe, we're going to look at the Word today, and we want to do our best to build faith and strength and comfort and encouragement in the midst of the pain of living in this world while we pray for grace and comfort for Nabil's widow and little daughter. And for others right now who are mourning the loss of loved ones, and you too prayed, and you too asked God to heal, and maybe even had signs that something was happening and healing was coming, or really felt personally encouraged that your loved one would be healed, and they're not. If they knew the Lord, they're with Him, we rejoice in that, but that still does not totally take away the tremendous pain that you suffer, the loss in your own life, the hole that is there because of that missing loved one. So this is not just abstract theology, friends. We will take calls today at 866.
That is there because 348-7884.
This is not just abstract theology, friends. 348-7884. That is the number to call. If you'd like to weigh in, if you have a testimony about healing that you'd like to share, if you have your own understanding of Scripture and you'd like to contribute that, something you feel the Lord's taught you in the midst of suffering, phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. I never met Nabil Qureshi. Had him on the radio one time and one time only, but of course knew of his ministry and the amazing things God did in and through his life in a very short period of time. He was part of an Islamic sect, not what you call mainstream Islam, but an Islamic sect, and was very devout in it. The Lord wonderfully saved him. David Wood, who I've also had on the air but never met face-to-face, was a key person involved in helping to lead Nabil to the Lord after years of study together. But what was clear was that God's hand was really on Nabil's witness, that amazing doors opened for him in a short period of time, that his book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, became a bestseller, and I imagine will continue to be for years to come. When I look on Amazon and see the amount of reviews that the book got, which also is a direct reflection of how much interest there's been in the book, it's far more reviews than any of my books that have been published to date. In other words, something really caught on with this testimony, with this book. And of course, our brother's been used to lead many Muslims to the Lord, and we trust even after his passing, he'll lead many to the Lord. And perhaps even his testimony, as he got close to death and the peace with which he approached things and his trust in God, perhaps God will use that to speak to many Muslims. Perhaps the mockers and the skeptics and even those who say, well, God struck him, Allah struck him because he departed from the faith. If there were Muslims saying that, perhaps his witness will speak to them, because certainly he had a peace and assurance from God that a Muslim could not have because of their theology and beliefs and because they're not connected to the Heavenly Father. But I personally believe that divine healing is for today, and that based on my theology, we should have seen Nabil heal. So we want to talk about these things. And friends, I know for many, you're listening right now, you're very sick. You have a loved one that's very sick. This is not just an abstract discussion today. We'll be right back.
fire, we plead.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So why are there some who are miraculously healed and others who are not? Why are there sincere, devoted Christians who love the Lord and suffer pain all their lives or handicap all their lives and are never healed? And maybe an atheist at a meeting with some visiting speaker is instantly miraculously healed. What do those things happen? And how much can we base our theology on experience? And how much should be based on the Word? 866-348-7884. We're focused today on the subject of divine healing. Why are some healed? Why are others not healed? Is it just a matter of our faith? Is it a matter of the state of the body in America? Is it a matter of other issues behind the scenes that we don't know? Should we not expect anyone to be healed? Should we say the ultimate healing comes with the resurrection? How should we treat these things? And if you yourself are sick, what should your attitude be? Again, I will take some calls over the course of the show, 866-348-7884. A few years ago, I guest hosted for my friend Stu Epperson Jr. one day on the Truth Radio Networks. And we were talking about the theology of healing. And I said, listen, we're just talking theology. We're not talking testimony. I just want to say, let's look at the scriptures and see what the Word says. I was flooded with calls, all with testimonies, almost all with testimonies, from people wanting to tell me how they were healed or how they saw God use them to heal the sick. And then also this, which was really, really interesting. I also saw this. People were calling and saying that their theology was against healing until they saw healing, and that changed their theology. Well, does that mean, though, conversely, if I believe in praying for the sick based on Scripture and pray and don't see healing, that I should then change my views? So I would say, first and foremost, we build our theology on Scripture, on the clear reading of Scripture. Then our experience can further confirm what is clearly taught in Scripture. In other words, if we are convinced that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, and we lead someone to genuinely call on the Lord in faith and repentance, and we see them wonderfully born again, we base our theology on the Word, then our experience confirms that. Yes, God did what he said he would do in his Word, and that deepens our faith all the more. So let me just lay out my own journey when it comes to healing. That'll give you a context. And then we'll talk directly about some of these difficult questions and what our attitude should be. I was saved in a Pentecostal church, so we were told God healed the sick today. And we heard about the great miracles that took place in the 40s and the 50s and what's been called the healing revival. And some of the folks in our church were new believers back then or young people then and saw God heal back then. Now we're late 60s, early 70s, 71, I get saved. And I remember I had hives, bad condition of hives, and it's terrible. These blotches would go all over my back, lower back, and then down my legs, and then my arms, and it was a severe itch. I remember, you know, almost crying, just so frustrated by this as a teenager, and trying to take these special baths to deal with it, and put all this cream over me, and finally went to a doctor. And the doctor diagnosed it and gave me this medicine to take. He said it was going to take 24 hours before you see effects. And then after 24 hours, I started to see a lessening. And after days, it went away. But it came back with a vengeance. And I remember the day it came back, I didn't have any medicine with me. I was on my way to school. It was winter, so I had long sleeves on. When I got to school, I had this terrible itch up and down my arms. I looked, and these blotches, I mean, yeah, big, red, ugly blotches all over my arms and down my back. Oh, just, it was terrible. And there was a friend there that had just come to faith also. We were in the room, homeroom, before class was going to start. And I said to him, just agree with me in prayer that I'll be healed. And within two minutes, everything 100% disappeared. I mean, 100%. And we saw some other miracles in those early days that were amazing. One fellow we had helped lead to the Lord, heavy drinker, drug-using guy, got in a lot of fights. He was over at my house and gashed his thumb. I mean, a serious gash. I mean, ugly gash. It took a chunk of his thumb out, just cut it on this piece of wood, and it was ugly. And he was just a new believer and as innocent as could be in his faith. And we prayed with him. And next day I saw him, and there was nothing. There was not even a sign. He had been cut. I saw it with my own eyes. But over the years, prayed for other things, and I wasn't healed. I had bad allergies, hay fever, and wasn't healed. And then we prayed for people who were crippled, some with cancer, and they weren't healed. And I began to wonder about these things. Scripture seemed very plain to me, but I began to wonder. And I began to question a lot of the things I had been taught about healing, about miracles and gifts of the Spirit for today. We had a guy come through our church that was actually a charlatan. A lot of us got duped. And I thought, man, this is just, I got very skeptical and cynical. We ended up leaving that church. That's actually when I became a Calvinist as well, 77 to 82. And I did my best to go through the Word and disprove divine healing. My own sister-in-law was miraculously healed at a meeting, miraculously healed. And I downplayed it. I downplayed it. That's how hard my heart was. But I couldn't get away from the fact that as I studied Scripture, the gifts of the Spirit were still for today. I couldn't get away from that. And when I would really seek the Lord in prayer, these things would become very real to me. But I thought, well, whatever we're seeing in the charismatic Pentecostal churches and, you know, those TV guys, it's just not the real deal. There must be more. We're just not experiencing it. But I was very skeptical. And then God got hold of me, brought me to a place of deep repentance because I'd come into a season of spiritual pride. I had come into a season where, theological pride, and I know all these languages and this and that. I still was a serious believer, but I'd left my first love. And God brought me through a season of deep repentance and poured out His Spirit mightily on me. And we had a wonderful outpouring in our church, which was barely charismatic. And the Holy Spirit was poured out, and people were dramatically touched in deep repentance. And just, it was an extraordinary season of renewal. And people started getting healed. I mean, chronic conditions they had, other things, they started getting healed. And they would quote Scripture, they'd quote Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, by His stripes were healed. And I thought, but that's not what it means. In context, it's talking about spiritual healing, not physical healing. And others would say, well, healing's in the atonement. I thought, well, no, that's wrong theology, but yet they were getting healed. So I was confused. And I decided, okay, I'm working on my doctoral dissertation, Near Eastern Languages and Literatures, New York University. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to focus on the Hebrew word for healing. I'm going to look at it from every possible angle as my foundation. I'm going to look at it in its ancient Near Eastern context. And I'm going to write my doctoral dissertation on that, which was approved. And all the while, I was reading books about healing. I was praying for the sick. I was seeing God work. And I don't have the gift of healing. That's not my primary gift or calling. I'm called to wake up a sleeping church and be a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, but not be a healing evangelist by calling. And yet, obviously, there are always sick people you see and you know. So I prayed for them. I saw some results. I saw some amazing things happen. Other things didn't see, very clearly didn't see. Seemed went so far and only so far. But then I keep encountering what the Word said, and the Word was so clear to me. So after years of study, and then I dove back in the study again, going through the whole Bible. I just took one Bible and made that my healing Bible and underlined every verse, highlighted every verse in the Bible having anything to do with sickness or healing. And the conclusion at the end was even stronger, that sickness in the Bible in and of itself is always bad or negative. God can use it. God can work through it. Some of the most spiritual people in the world can be very sick. But sickness in and of itself is a bad, negative thing. It's associated with sin, with the fall, with Satan, with curses in and of itself. Even though, again, you might love the Lord with all your heart and be sick. You might have lost a loved one, a child to sickness. Doesn't mean they were cursed. Please don't misunderstand me. Doesn't mean Satan took them. But sickness in and of itself, bad, negative, associated with sin, associated with Satan, associated with curse, associated with fall. And healing in and of itself, always good. Associated with God, associated with blessing, associated with His goodness, associated with His compassion. And from what I could see, having studied this as intensively as anybody I know and dug in the original languages as deeply as I could, to this day, by God's grace, my book, Israel's Divine Healer, which was published in 95, just a warning, it's a technical book. It's not an easy read. But Israel's Divine Healer, which was published in 95, remains a standard textbook to this day. And I wrote major articles on the Hebrew root for healing in major theological dictionaries, and they remain staples to this day. So God gave me some level of authority with which to speak based on study. So I believe that we should see people like Nabil healed on a regular basis. I believe we should see a greater demonstration of God's miraculous power in the earth. Oh, he's doing amazing things around the world. But as I understand Scripture, we should see even more. And yet, if we don't, we're going to worship God the same, believe him the same, love him the same, grow in grace the same way, and take advantage of any situation in which we find ourselves. Whatever pain, discomfort, terminal illness, we're still going to glorify God and ask him to be glorified through us while we pursue him for healing, also to his honor and glory. We'll be right back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. We're talking about divine healing. Again, this is not abstract. For so many of you, this is right where you find yourselves. Got an email from one of our grads the other day, and she's been chronically ill as long as we've known her. She's just about 40 years old now, and just as she describes what she's going through, always with a joyful spirit, this poor gal, I mean, she has suffered one thing after another, surgery after surgery, and things that threaten her heart, passing out, and constant pain, and she loves the Lord. She's a godly young woman. Everything that's been done medically has been done and is being done. She's prayed for many times. Why isn't she healed? I understand in this world, we won't see everything happen that we long to see. But these are fair questions to ask. You might have a theology that says the days of healing and miracles are over. The problem with that is that healings and miracles are happening all the time, all around the world. Read Craig Keener's book, Miracles, which is not so much an apologetic for divine healing. It is dealing with the presuppositionalism of a skepticism, of a rationalism that is unbiblical in many ways. But read what he documents there and his estimate that perhaps at least 200 million people in the world today are eyewitnesses to divine miracles. That's probably an understatement. The fact is these things happen all the time. I was just sent a note by a colleague with a picture of a girl, 19 years old. She's playing bass in a band. And he reminded me of something. Well, maybe I knew it back then, but it was news to me. In 1998, she was at a service with her mother, with many people there at that service. I walked down and prayed for her. She was 4 months old. Didn't say a word to the mother, according to this account, and just prayed for her. She was 4 months old, and she had a lazy eye. The eyelid was largely closed. She had a lazy eye. It was dripping fluid all the time. Medication wasn't working. Doctors didn't know what to do with it. I went down from where I was, prayed for this little girl. In front of the mother's eyes, she was instantly healed. She watched the lid come up. She watched the lazy eye straighten. She watched the fluid stop, and it stopped from that day on. That's just me. I'm nobody. I don't have some gift of healing or healing ministry. One of my colleagues has literally prayed for people who've come back from the dead, literally, literally. Baby was handed him after a major meeting in Africa, and he just prayed quickly and went on, little knowing, not really thinking about why this child was completely stiff that was given to him, only to find out he had died some hours earlier, and the parents urgently tried to get the baby to him for prayer. He just prayed and went on. Next day, they present the healthy child to him and share the story. And yet, people like Nabil and people close to you and people close to me, the ones closest to me that we've prayed for the longest time, that cancer, we lost them. Oh, they're with the Lord, but we lost them in this world and left behind widows or widowers or mourning families. So this is reality. But if you say that days of miracles are over, well, they're clearly not. If you say, well, God just chooses to heal some and not others, that might work experientially. I just don't see that written in the Word. So my posture is, I'm going to continue to pray, continue to ask God, continue to believe, continue to expect more and more healing to come before Jesus returns. But understand that in this world, we will not see 100% healing miracles. Everyone will die ultimately, and we're going to be with the Lord eternally. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, God can be glorified through it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. We'll start in Lillington, North Carolina. James, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, Dr. Brown. I don't know what I can add to the conversation, but I would say, alluding to what you said about the gifts of the Spirit, there's very little talk about identifying the gifts of the Spirit, identifying your gift, how to exercise that gift. I think as I've watched a lot of charismatic churches, you know, streaming services and things, much of the teaching is given kind of blanketly, rather than trying to discern somebody's gift and teaching them how to exercise that gift. And also that I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, will provide all members of a body to a church. However, whenever a person gets filled with the Spirit and baptized, sometimes they leave the church they're in and go to a church where tongues and charismatic gifts, the gifts are operated. So I think that leads to what you might call a handicapped body.
Yeah.
When a body has a part that's missing.
Yep.
It's handicapped.
Let me just weigh in on that. You know, of course, you must respect the beliefs of the leadership and the church that you're in. So if you're in a congregation that says tongues are not for today, prophecy is not for today, you might meet with the leaders and interact with them. If they say, no, this is what we believe, this is what we're convicted of, then if you believe otherwise, it's best to go somewhere else where people agree with you. In the same way, if you were in a church where people spoke in tongues and prophesied and prayed for the sick and you didn't believe it was for today, then rather than fight them all the time, if they say, no, this is what we believe, it's best to go somewhere else where people are in harmony. But then again, that does leave lacks in the body. So I think, James, perhaps we need to look at the larger body, perhaps the body in a given city, and recognize that that's where you might find a full expression of the gifts. But could we do a better job of teaching how God does these things today? Surely. And how to understand different ways God's gifted us based on Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Surely, I think we could do a better job. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Winston-Salem. All right. I'll tell you what, we'll try also Winston-Salem. Jeffrey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. That's about it. I wonder, the Bible talks about some gifts being kept secret. The body has many parts. Some parts are modestly covered, and some parts are, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't say gifts are kept secret, but certain parts of the body are covered and are not seen publicly, so that it's different members of the body have different functions. Some are public, some are private. Yes.
Well, the last thing I wanted to say was, as far as taking the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
He says,
tell you what, just because I got a break, let me help you with the verse that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, because people were partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily, in an unworthy manner, that many were sick and some were dead. There's no question that sin and disobedience in our own lives can lead to sickness and premature death. That's clear in Scripture. But we better be very careful before we point a finger at someone and say, well, you must have died. That person is sick because they're in sin. Just be very careful, because the way you judge others is going to come back on you. And that's what Job's friends did. They wrongly judged Job. I'm going to explain more about that on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to today's broadcast, where in the aftermath of the loss of our brother Nabil Qureshi, we're asking questions about divine healing. 866-348-7884. If you have a testimony, question about divine healing, or some thoughts from Scripture that you think could be helpful. I wonder how many people Nabil will reach through his death, the way he died, glorifying God, being at peace, even while facing terrible, terrible news and sharing right up till the end, sharing his faith. I wonder how many Muslims will be touched by that. But then you say, hey, he's got a daughter that's going to grow up without a father. He's got a wife that's going to live years without her husband. And what about the other ministry he could have done for the body? These are very important and fair questions to ask. 866-348-7884. I have spent years in the book of Job. I love the book of Job. I've written a commentary on the book of Job, but I'm in the process of a complete rewrite to make it more accessible to a wider audience. And because of other writing projects, I haven't been able to devote my time to this rewrite yet, but I hope to get to it soon. There were two fundamental errors that took place in the book of Job. The friends had a theology that was largely a right theology, but was too narrow and strict and confining. Their theology was God blesses the righteous and curses the wicked. That is largely the theology of the Sinai Covenant and the theology of the Old Testament. And ultimately, forever, the wicked will be damned, the righteous will enjoy eternal life, right? But this theology said if something terrible happens to you, then obviously you're a sinner, because these things do not happen to godly people. The idea, well, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? There's only been one good person, Jesus. Well, from an Old Testament perspective, there were many godly people, righteous people, because they trusted God and then walked in obedience to him. So this idea that Job must have done something terrible. They first thought, okay, he's obviously a godly man, but there's some sin we didn't know about, and God is chastising him. When he begins to respond the way he does, that pushes them over, and they said, look, you sinned. That's why your kids died. You're guilty. You're a sinner. You're wicked. You need to repent. Because, look, if those kind of things could happen to a godly man, maybe they'd happen to me. Maybe they happen to you. It takes away your security, doesn't it? On the flip side, Job made the mistake of thinking that God had changed. The friends wrongly thought Job must be some wicked sinner. Job thought God must be guilty. God somehow is out of control. On the one hand, I believe in him. On the other hand, he looks like a monster and a tyrant. When bad things happen, it's all the same. Righteous, wicked, he wipes out everybody. He's out of control. That's who he is. So that's the error on both sides. The friends changing their theology to say, or changing their views of Job to fit their theology, saying, well, Job must have changed. Job changing his views about God, saying, well, God must have changed, whereas both were wrong. God remained good throughout, and at the end of the book, God restores double to Job and extends his life double, all right, especially if we follow the tradition in the Septuagint, extends his life double. And whereas he lost 10 kids, and those are lost, perhaps there's a suggestion with the Lord, because he doesn't get double kids, he gets 10 more. So don't say, well, someone must have sinned. No, they didn't have enough faith. They must have sinned. That's why this happened. Don't change your views about the person, but then don't change your views about God. When we see a sad loss like Nabil leaving us in this world after many people prayed for him and people with healing ministries prayed for him, I'm not going to change my view of him. Well, maybe he wasn't in faith. Maybe he wasn't a sinner. But I'm not going to change my views of God. I still believe God's the healer. I still expect this as the norm, whether I see it or not. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are jammed. I'm going straight back to your calls on the other side of the break.
In It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, if you want to read a scholarly monograph on divine healing, focusing on the Old Testament, going the New as well, my book, Israel's Divine Healer, came out in 95, still in print. I'd recommend that, but it is academic and scholarly. Just want to warn you in advance. A book that many have found helpful about divine healing is F.F. Bosworth's Christ the Healer. Bosworth was a mentor to A.W. Tozer. Again, I find Scripture very clear in terms of the overall testimony of healing miracles. I also know that in this world, we do not experience everything that is promised, and some would question my theology based on experience. I would just say, word first, experience second. That's the safe and sound way to do theology. And again, be careful. Don't judge the person. Well, if they had enough faith, well, if you have so much faith, you pray for them. If you have so much faith, you go and get that person out of the wheelchair. You go and rebuke that cancer if you have so much faith. Maybe their faith is weak. My faith's been weak many times in terms of healing. Strong in other ways, but weak there. And look, James, Jacob, the fifth chapter, I just find that as an always verse. If there are any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the congregation. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer for the faith will make the sick person well. If they sin, they'll be forgiven. The Lord will raise him up. I see that as an always. I don't see that as well as just for the first century. No, it's just an always verse. One pastor was honest enough to say it's in Scripture, so we lay hands on the sick in our church services. We just almost never see anyone healed. Then my question would be, are you praying in faith? Are you praying with faith? And can you pray in faith if you don't know the will of God? And why are you praying for the sick if you don't know the will of God? If you're praying, if it be thy will to heal. No, it's not that God won't or can't heal through that. But that's, to me, he's revealed his will. And therefore, we act based on that. And I'll ask God for healing till that person's last breath. And obviously, if I feel in my spirit, I feel we're losing them, then we prepare them to be with the Lord, but we keep asking and standing until that last moment on their behalf. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, we have our great listeners all over DFW, of course, all over the nation, other stations, our great Truth Network all over, many of you listening on American Family Radio on Sundays all over the nation, many of you listening on podcasts all around the world, some listening live online now, many listening on our app, but some are watching on YouTube Live right now. So, hey, my shout out to you. Hazakim, you guys out there just looking at some of the chat room and Melina, Halima, Tina, Michael, Adam, Juan, Fedoricor? Yeah, Steven, Adam. Oh, I can't get that name right. Triple G, not the boxer. Triple G, I don't think you're in the chat room here. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to encourage you, if you're sick, to worship God as good no matter what. You say, I know it's hard and pain. I'm not saying it's easy. But even in the midst of pain, say, God, you're good. My whole body aches, but God, you're good. My head's exploding, but God, you're good. He's glorified through that. And when I had pneumonia, as a young man, I got hit with viral and bacterial pneumonia at the same time. It was a real demonic attack. The doctors could not understand how someone as healthy as me got hit with pneumonia. And then they found I got hit with both at the same time. I remember I was working on my doctoral dissertation on Israel's divine healer. And I remember I wrote down, I had IV, and so I had bandages on my arm and all that. I wrote on them, Ani Adonai Rofecha, Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord your healer. And I said, Lord, a billion years from now, when there hasn't been anyone sick in your family for a billion years, you're still going to be the healer just the same as today. And then I was miraculously touched and out of the hospital. Faith rose one day, something happened, and I was out. So again, I'm a believer. I believe in healing. However, the last thing I'm going to do is, boy, you're not healed because of this. You're not healed. I say, Father, manifest your glory through healing the sick. Show your compassion. Just make it a matter of compassion as well, that little child in a cancer hospital. Lord, show your compassion and be glorified. And Lord, we're going to worship you and adore you no matter what. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Winnipeg. Elaine, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. I was following Nabil for the last year and praying for his healing, as were thousands of other people. And I was, you know, pretty upset when he passed on Saturday. I just think he was a glorious testimony of love for God. And
yes.
To me, I believe that God has shown, I think he will, what you said earlier, he will use Nabil's suffering to reach many people, because what kind of God creates in a man's heart that kind of love and passion. So I felt that Nabil's testimony was powerful. But here's my question. At the beginning of Nabil's journey for healing, he was, you know, posting lots of teachings on God. You know, God always heals, and he had been led to different churches. Yeah, I mean, he went out to Bethel. He, mm-hmm. he was at different churches. Different people were saying, you know, that initially that chiropractor laid on him and was supposed to impart healing to him, and all these things seemed to happen. Many, many godly people were healing for him and giving him words of healing. So what do we do with that now?
Yeah.
Now that it didn't happen, what are we to think?
Yeah, Elaine's first thing, we cannot just shut off our minds and make believe it didn't happen. That would be unwise, and that would do a disservice to the Lord and to his people. That's the very reason I've written about this. You can read my article on why Nabil Qureshi was not healed. And by the way, I in the article, I say, of course, I don't know that, but here's what I believe our posture should be. So you can read that on my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Number one, I agree with the theology based on Scripture that we should expect healing as God's blessing for his people, not to fix what we do wrong. In other words, if I abuse my body and keep coming back to him for healing, I can't expect healing. But just in the normal course of things, my assumption is there's nothing that Nabil did in himself to bring on this terrible condition. He was stricken with it, and therefore the first response, the natural response, is to ask for healing. And I believe that if he had been in the crowds that were around Jesus and whoever touched him was healed, that he would have been among those that were healed. And it was a sign of God's compassion and love. And we should expect this in an ongoing way today, in gifts of healing in the body and the prayer effort and faith, making the sick person well. I believe in that. That's one. Two, I know that some of the places mentioned, like Bethel, have a steady stream of miraculous testimonies. I have a grad or two that were part of the ministry there and attested to things firsthand. And they know I'm a realist. They know I don't like just someone said something. We want it verified. We want doctor's reports. We want to see years later the real fruit of it. So there is a steady stream of healing. But if we're honest, we would say that more are not healed than are healed. And to me, that means something is missing. Now, if I were John MacArthur, I'd say, of course, that's the whole problem. The theology is wrong. Healing is not for today. And these so-called healings are not really taking place. Well, respectfully to Pastor MacArthur and others, I strongly beg to differ. But to me, this is another sign that there are real lacks in the body today. This is another mm-hmm. sign of our weakened condition. I wrote about this in my book that came out in 1991, Whatever Happened to the Power of God. In fact, in Pastor MacArthur's Strange Fire book, he even quoted approvingly what I had written there about, you know, why aren't we seeing more healings? So mm-hmm. I believe the theology is right. I believe we should expect these things. But sadly, we are only seeing a small amount of what we should. Now, Elaine, if someone said healing and miracles, that's mainly for the lost, and the gospel's preached somewhere for the first time, and healings and miracles take place to validate the message just as it was validated in the early church. Well, I know that happens all the time. And my friends who are on the front lines of outreach to the Muslim world and other unreached people groups, they see the greatest miracles, the most outstanding, mind-boggling miracles when they're out among people who don't know the Lord. But even in-house, among God's people, with gifts of healing and the prayer offered in faith to make the sick person well, and the Lord, our healer, and Jesus taking our sicknesses and carrying our diseases, which I believe is part of what he did on the cross, and therefore at the cost of his wounds, there's healing for us. I personally believe we should be seeing much more. We're not going to see anything perfect in this world until Jesus comes. Everyone is ultimately going to die. We understand that. For whatever reason, Paul left Trophimus sick somewhere, and he wasn't afraid to say it. He told Timothy, drink a little wine for your stomach problems. Things were not perfect with 100% healing all the time in the early church either. But I do believe, Elaine, we should see much more. And this should break us all the more, saying, God, where's your healing power? Where's that manifestation of your compassionate love? We rejoice that Nabil's with the Lord. We pray for his wife and daughter that God would be near to them in the midst of the loss. But for me, this is a further push to say, God, manifest your love, your grace, and divine healing for your name's sake and for the sake of your hurting people. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks again, friends, for joining us. So much more to be said. Phone lines have been jammed. I want to get to as many calls as I can in the next few minutes. My new book, Saving a Sick America, comes out. What's today? Comes out in a week, exactly 1 week. I strongly encourage you to get hold of this. We want to spark a revolution of hope. The ultimate issue is spiritual. The ultimate sickness is spiritual. And even more important than healing the body is saving the soul and changing the life. So our greatest emphasis is on Great Commission. Our greatest emphasis is on winning the lost. But often winning the lost and seeing healing and wholeness come to the life, these things go hand in hand. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. But if you're not connected with me on social media, please get connected today. I'll tell you why. Because we're going to team up together. A week from today, we're going to team up. We're going to tell the whole world that it's not too late for America. And all you're going to do is just share a link. Check out Dr. Brown's latest book, It's Not Too Late for America. Won't cost you a dime. That's all we're asking you to do as our partners. Would you? So if you're not connected with me on Facebook or Twitter, go to my website right now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Go there and then connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter. This way, immediately when we make this announcement with a link, you can share that with others. We want to send a wave of hope and encouragement. Realism, sobriety, but hope. It's not too late. America's critically ill, metaphorically speaking, but healing can still come through the gospel, through awakening. All right, let me go back to the phones in Greensboro, North Carolina. Monique, welcome to the Line of Fire.
And thank you so much. And I'm going to do my best to be succinct and talk fast. I've been need to really weigh on this. First, I want to applaud and thank God for your perspective. So far, it's the most balanced one I've heard as far as weighing the different factors that go into it. I am 38. I've never been on drugs. I'm not diabetic. I don't have high blood pressure. Doesn't run in my family. Yet I've been on dialysis for over 7 years. My body attacks my kidney. So I can speak on this, and you have been the most sober and well-informed person that I don't know to be, having had something like this, to deal with it themselves. And I've seen my mother die and watched her die and went through that whole thing that you guys with Nabil, and I've seen my own self. 2 years before this happened, and I'm going to hit this point because then I'm going to go to the scripture about it. Because two years before this happened, God, Holy Spirit, you walk in divine health without the long-term assistance of any drug. Very specific. I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't see a vision. It was just a knowing in my heart. We had no reason to ever think I'd be on dialysis. 2 years later, I can't even tell you everything, but the fact is I had all this victory, and I was literally about to die because I didn't want to do the dialysis because I was standing against it. So yeah. Here I am, like I said, 38 on dialysis. I started a month after my 31st birthday, and I've been believing for divine healing, everything you said. And I look at the scripture in several things. Peter, one of the Gospels, what you've already mentioned about Paul, what's the name, sick, and Timothy, I think. But he says several things. Who sinned that this blind man is blind, him or the parent? Neither, but that the glory of God would be revealed. Lazarus was sick. The scripture let us know he waited 2 days on purpose. But the thing is, he ultimately did bring those people out.
Yeah, he did. And that's how he was glorified.
That's how he was glorified now. But he shows us that he's held it for some time for whatever reason, because he just said this will be. Now, I'm careful with that allow. Even with Paul, when he says, except there'd be exalted above measure for the revelation, there has given me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, I've had that just because it says, lest I be exalted above measure. The devil doesn't not want you in pride. So I don't know how that came about. But what I'm saying is it almost seems to have something to do with the reason that the sickness was there in the beginning. You have the communion, and I have no idea why. I have completed. God, is there unforgiveness in my heart? Have I done that? And I'm not living in any known sin, and I haven't been. And he has made it very plain to say it's nothing you're doing. So yeah. I've had a hard time with, God, help me reconcile truly. I know you're good, and I'm going to serve you regardless if you give me the grace to keep doing it. And I know he's using my life at that dialysis unit. It's very obvious that he's doing that. Now, I don't know when he's going to bring me out or what the catalyst is. And my mom died, period. So, oh, my gosh. And, of course, Job, I've calmed that and all the same questions he had, you know. And I'm 38. I've never seen anything
young
else.
Woman.
I'm not married. I don't have kids, you know. Mm.
Well, Monique, you've said a lot, and thank you for your kind words as well. You've said a lot, and you're speaking to many others, and thank you for your fervent spirit in the midst of this. And I'd be in the same place you'd be. Lord, I'm going to worship you in the midst of this. I want to grow in the midst of this. Whatever's causing this, Satan, whatever attack, wherever it's coming from, sent from whoever, wherever, I'm going to glorify you in the midst of it. I want to grow in the midst of it. Want to become as much like Jesus as I can in the midst of it. Want to minister to everyone around me. But I'm going to continue to believe that based on what's promised in your word, that your promises are for healing and wholeness, that this is a debilitating negative condition as opposed to something that's promised. No, listen, in this world, we're going to have trouble. Of course. We're going to have difficulties. Of course. We understand that. And look, most of the difficulty that's spoken of in the New Testament has to do with persecution and suffering. Not all of it, but much of it has to do with persecution, has to do with suffering. So when we're persecuted for the faith, we rejoice. Being sick is not being persecuted for the faith, but when we're persecuted for the faith, we rejoice. That's a sign that we are doing God's will. When we are sick, we pray for healing and deliverance. That's the New Testament pattern, but glorifying God in the midst of it, as our sister is doing. And Lord, we pray for Monique. And friends, can we just do this? Time is short on the show. I know so many have called, and I wish we had hours to get to more calls. But let me just do this. If you're sick right now, if you're on hold and you're sick or loved one's sick, or our sister Monique right now, would you join me in prayer? This is what I know how to do based on Scripture. Father, we love you. We honor you. We adore you. We recognize you as God. We thank you that you've revealed yourself as our healer, the one who forgives our sins and heals our diseases. We thank you that your words are life and healing. We thank you that by the wounds of your Son, there is healing for us, spirit, mind, body, soul. And we pray for those listening right now that are in serious pain, those with incurable illness, those with terminal illness. Lord, manifest your goodness and grace right now and heal and deliver and set free and work miracles and do the impossible, that the world may know, that your people may know Jesus is risen from the dead and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may they feel a fresh expression of your love. We thank you for healing. We thank you for deliverance. We're going to praise you no matter what, sick or not. We're going to praise you. We're going to love you. But we're asking you, in accordance with your will and your promises, bring healing right now. We stand against everything that's not from above, and as for your will to be done in each of these lives, in the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Hey, friends, if God did touch you while we prayed, shoot in a note. It will encourage others. We'll share that. And let's pray together for the full manifestation of God's glory and kingdom until Jesus comes, at which point we will see everything unfold here gloriously on the earth. Hang in there. God is faithful.